It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I got to admit it, not in the Super Bowl frame of mind. I will watch the highlights of the game afterwards, but, you know, I'm just not into it like I used to. Hey, it is what it is. Not everybody watches the NFL. They've turned off a lot of people over the years for various reasons, but I think mostly because my Giants aren't in it. But, hey, the Chiefs and the Eagles, for everyone that follows those teams, you know, enjoy. I hope your team wins. My gut feeling, it'll probably be a blowout. I shouldn't say blowout, maybe a high-scoring game, 38 to 24 in the favor of Eagles, 38-24. I'll go with that. Anyway, here tonight on the sit-down, as always, for everyone who tunes in on a normal basis, you know the routine. For those that are new, it's simple. I show up with nothing, no notes, nothing, and you dictate what we talk about tonight. You choose the topics. You can post your comments. Obviously, you have to be active in the chat room because I don't read minds as of yet. If I did, Joey, somebody would be smacking you in the face right now. But we're only going to go about an hour, since it is going to be a much lighter turnout with the Super Bowl going on. I mean, I actually thought about not doing a show tonight, but I figured, you know what, even if there's a small bunch of you out there that rather talk some wrestling instead of watching football, yeah, why not? Let's do it. It's not that big of a deal. And I see some questions already came in. Now, if you're going to post a question in the chat room, just write in capital letters the word question before it so I could see it a little bit quicker. If you have a comment that you want to share with everyone, just write comment before it. Super chats never required, but always appreciated. They go to good use here. And it does help pay the bills, and you will always get VIP priority treatment. So with that said, let's kick this off. Lascelles Williams, thank you for the $10 super chat, my friend. I'm glad you are doing a show tonight because I don't follow football and not watching the Super Bowl. You know, I'm going to watch it, but just not live. So, DT, your thoughts on Tony Khan's latest saying that WWE and AEW hate each other and they are at war? Oh, God. You know, I want to root for this guy so bad. I don't know if he thinks he's trying to duplicate ECW 1994/95. You know, we just had a tragedy in Jay Briscoe dying. And the wrestling world came together. We see WWE stars and AEW stars at gatherings, parties, events. They mingle with each other on social media. You know, we're trying to lower the vibe of the hate, you know, fighting. And here's this guy turning around and doing the opposite. You know, I don't have the actual quote that he said on the podcast this weekend, but the two things that stuck out to me right away was, number one, he says that WWE and AEW are at war and that they hate each other. First of all, AEW, WWE is not a physical being. It is a company made up of individuals. If Nick Khan thinks you're a joke, if Stephanie or Vince thinks that you're just a kid, a 40-year-old acting like a child with a lot of money who loves wrestling, if some executives feel that way, that doesn't mean you're at war. WWE's trying to sell their fucking company and make billions upon billions of dollars. I don't think WWE gives a shit right now as far as AEW goes. It feels very one-sided, and I'll be honest with you, Lascelles, and anyone else out there that finds this interesting. I go back to that rant that I did about Dixie Carter many, many years ago with David versus Goliath. You know, we rehashed that about a year ago. talking about Tony Khan. I played that audio once again. And if you remember that audio, the story of David versus Goliath, you know, we twisted around and we said that, you know, Dixie Carter was David and WWE was Goliath. The difference was, you know, like Goliath is like, you know, Dixie, leave me the fuck alone. I don't give a shit about you. And Dixie just poking a bear, poking a bear, poking a bear. And then Goliath got fed up and just splat, squashed Dixie Carter like a grape, you know, figuratively more than anything else. You know, this is not David versus Goliath. And I'm telling you, sooner or later, this schmuck is going to say David versus Goliath. And I hate to use the term schmuck, but, you know, he's not, he must think that this, the biggest success of AEW is fans angry at WWE. And let me tell you something. A lot of promotions over the years have tried to do that. And they end up remaining this big. AEW will never be, you know, bigger than what it is simply because they put on an entertaining product. There's an anger there. There's an immaturity there. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, act that way. I'm telling you, I think MJF is Tony Khan's favorite fucking wrestler right now because Tony Khan allows MJF to say things that, you know, as far as entertainment goes, we enjoy it. But, you know, there's this anger, there's this insistence that WWE has to be at war with AEW. Like, you have to acknowledge them. Acknowledge me. Because the minute WWE falls for the trap and says something negative about AEW or Tony Khan, that gives Tony Khan every right to start saying, you see, you see, you see. I think he's still a petulant child, Lascelles. I want to root for the guy, but he's a big baby with a lot of money who does love pro wrestling. Mike Memphis, shout out to you, Mike. Thank you for the five spot, my friend. I saw your tweet about Athena missing in action from TV. She is on Dark and Elevation all the time and feuding with Yuka Sakazaki. Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. So, yeah. So, Athena, yeah, it's no big deal that she's not on Dynamite for the last 4 months. And she's only been on Rampage twice since August of last year. You're telling me that AEW YouTube, as long as you're featured all over YouTube, that that's the answer for it? Athena has not been on Dynamite in over 4 months. She hasn't been on, she's only been on Rampage twice since August. AEW makes their money off of TV, merchandise, pay-per-view. They make gots on YouTube. You know, what do you, please, people got to stop with this. Because the minute Mustafa Ali is on Main Event 2-3 weeks in a row, what the fuck? Why is he only on Main Event? Why can't he fucking be on Raw or SmackDown? Come on, man. Seriously. Seriously. Athena, why did she leave WWE? You know, the way she was being utilized and used. Now, look, if Athena's making crazy money right now, and they're like, hey, you know, work YouTube, AEW YouTube. Hey, you know what? I might be content with that. But please don't use the excuse that, oh, she's on AEW YouTube all the time. She's not worthy enough to be on television for the advertisers to try to boost the female demographic that everybody complains about. Oh, women's wrestling, 50-50. You know, look, oh, Raw 30. Look at all the outrage from Raw 30 and the cage match being scrapped. But meanwhile, you look at all these women that can't make fucking AEW television, and the answer is YouTube. I mean, I'm not, you know, angry at you. I'm just giving you an answer back. You know, I mean, women's revolution, women's wrestling, respect for women's wrestling doesn't apply only if the letters are WWE. You know, it's across the board. And I see people who are petrified, petrified to bring these things out in public. You know, it's, to me, it's ridiculous that Athena, and please don't give me, well, she's the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Ring of Honor is not back. They do a fucking pay-per-view once in a while to keep the name alive. If WWE ever did an ECW pay-per-view every year and did some shit on YouTube once in a while, is it truly back? Come on. Come on. Ring of Honor is not back. Once they start touring, once they start having... Look, we're now in the middle of February, and there's no Ring of Honor current footage being streamed on their Honor Club. We're now in the middle of February. You know, we gave the benefit of the doubt because, you know, things are a little bit hectic, but we're going to get into May or June. And what are you going to see? You're going to see a match taped here. You're going to see a match taped here. Maybe Tony Khan allows somebody to wrestle under the Ring of Honor banner to wrestle for Schmuck Championship Wrestling in Texas, as long as they can use the footage on Honor Club. I'm telling you, that's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to see. You know, look, my answer to all of this with AEW is simple. If you are fine with certain people only being allowed to wrestle on YouTube, if you are fine that Ring of Honor is just a pay-per-view every couple of months and a match taped here and there, if you are fine with that, I'm 100% behind you. Stop putting WWE and AEW in the same sentence then, because AEW is the same as what Impact Wrestling is and what MLW is and what these other promotions are. AEW is number two by default, but stop putting them in the same sentence, you know, because AEW is Ring of Honor on steroids. That's really what it is. It's Ring of Honor with large pockets. And even that, it still hasn't returned to regular TV. So, but thank you, Mike. Thank you. Sticky Fingers Frank, thank you for the five spot, my friend. Any Valentine's Day plans? Yes. Yes, I will be taking my wife out to dinner. Originally, we were going out to dinner at 8 o'clock. We were lucky enough to reschedule to 5 o'clock because somebody had canceled their dinner reservations. And hopefully, after dinner and a couple of drinks, maybe I can have a little bit of dessert, if you know what I mean. And I think I'll be doing Patreon at 10 o'clock. I know some of you are going to say, DT, just take Tuesday off. Spend it with your lady. Maybe I will. I mean, our Patreon family is some of the coolest people around. I mean, none again. I don't want Patreon versus YouTube fighting with each other. But, you know, everybody there is so cool. And, you know, if I end up not doing a show Tuesday night, hey, I'll record it during the week. We'll see. But, you know, it's going to be my first Valentine's Day married. And believe it or not, that actually is true across the board, because I know some of you say, well, weren't you married once in 1999? Yeah, I got it annulled a couple of months later. Never had Valentine's Day at the time. So, but yeah, I hope everybody has a good Valentine's Day. And I say this with the utmost sincerity, and I've said this before. You know, if you don't have a significant other for Valentine's Day, don't get down in the dumps. Don't get depressed, upset, angry. Don't get angry at others who are spending it with someone. You know, you have an extended family out there, you know, and just do something. You know, if you want, treat yourself. You know, pig out. Have some food, a little bit of ice cream. Go do something that makes you happy. You know, it's, you know, we're never fully, you know, with someone, you know, our entire lives. There's going to be times where we'll be alone. You know, there were many years that I spent Valentine's Day by myself. But, you know, it's just another day. So I hope everybody has a good one, whether you're with somebody or not. So, all right, let's shift to the live chat. Kevin Milwaukee with a comment. 39 years ago today in Boston, Massachusetts, Tito Santana beat Don Morocco to become the Intercontinental Champion. That would be 1984. Okay. All right. You know, look, Morocco, obviously, his peak was 83. The feud with Snuka. You know, once Hogan became champion, he was still a heel. You know, then he did Fuji Vice and, you know, the Miami Vice spoofs and everything. And then Morocco, you know, started jacking himself up way too much. Ended up becoming a babyface. And, you know, it was okay. I mean, and you never really got used to Magnificent Morocco being a babyface. But, look, Tio Santana, 1984, you know, trying to push him a little bit. You know, so... You know, you get your peaks and your valleys. I remember when Tito Santana was in WWF, I think 1979, when I first watched wrestling. He had the crazy Puerto Rican. He looked like Chico and the Man. You remember Chico and the Man, that show? Was it Chico? Yeah, Chico, right? He had that same kind of hair. I mean, back when he was like 79, 80. But, you know, Tito was good. Tito was good. I always liked Tito. I mean, Tito was never like a main eventer for me. But Tito was like a nice, like if you have a nice big meal, Tito Santana is like, you know, nice scalloped potatoes. You know what I mean? Like a nice side dish, but never a main eventer. So happy 13 months to Casey is Raw. Channel member, 13 months, enjoys being a fan for years. I appreciate you, Casey. Thank you. And I am so happy that after 26 years, we could still do this. It's baffling. It's baffling. I mean, let me tell you something. There are a few people out there that are so not desperate, but they really will be looking forward to the day that I stop doing shows, because maybe they get crowned as the longest podcaster, reigning, wrestling, whatever you want to call this. Yeah, I'm the longest, you know? And believe me, I tell you, you know, when we were on better terms with a couple other podcast hosts, there was one that was convinced that we started doing podcasting maybe before anyone else. You know, I know that sounds a little ridiculous, but trust me, you go back, go to Wayback Machine, and it speaks for itself. Back in the year 2000, when I was taking my wrestling hotline reports and putting them on the internet and putting it for everybody to hear. And then in 2003, just starting to do Fan Talk Live and everything. I mean, you know, we've been doing this a long, long time. And I love now that it's just you and I, seriously. There's no outside interference. There's no run-ins. There's no, you know, disqualifications. You know, we're just having a good time, and that's all that matters. So, awesome. Awesome. Okay. Rocky Red, what was my favorite Cactus Jack run? WCW, ECW, Japan, or WWE? Well, ECW. WCW, Cactus Jack, very, very early in his career. Loved his feud with Sting. Tremendous. Still kicked myself in the ass for not winning that eBay auction 20-something years ago for that in-ring worn shirt that he had with Sting. But, you know, his WWE run, he didn't do that much under Cactus Jack in WWE. You know, look, when he returned, we had the Three Faces of Foley, and he beat Triple H in Madison Square Garden. It's one of my favorite Raw matches of all time. It'll never change. I had goosebumps that night. I legitimately remember goosebumps. But his ECW run for me was the best, because not only, you know, did I give a shit about Mikey Whipwreck when he was teaming up with him, but he was feuding with Tommy Dreamer, feuding with Terry Funk, aligning himself with Raven, doing all those legendary promos, you know, then going to WWF, and, you know, it just he was awesome in ECW. And what was awesome about Cactus Jack in ECW was he put 150% in, no matter how big or how small a building was. So for me, it'll always be ECW. Always. You know, I'm not saying Mick Foley's overall career. We're just talking about the character Cactus Jack. Japan was crazy. But he cut promos in Japan, but they were always, you know, obviously with the subtitles, you know, because, you know, Japanese fans in droves do not understand English. ECW, though, was much different. It was much different. I mean, the way he interacted in those promos are legendary. It's just not even close for me, ECW. So, yes, if everybody's having a good time, smash that thumbs up. Much appreciated, as always. T-Nasty for ya with a question. What's my thoughts on WWE almost creating another WWE title for Cody or Seth Rollins if Roman versus Rock was going to happen? That would have never happened. Three championships? No. Listen, I have been saying this for like 7 months, 8 months. I honestly never expected The Rock to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I say the same thing I said 7, 8 months ago. You know, to see The Rock, who is now a celebrity, who didn't even have a recorded video for anniversaries of SmackDown and others, who didn't appear on certain, and yes, it goes both ways. Maybe WWE, you know, didn't tell him, oh, we're not needed. But still, why wouldn't he just do it and post it on Twitter? You know, why, you know, to me, I think there's a little bit of friction between both sides to a degree. It's too business. It's too business. With John Cena, it's a different dynamic. John Cena almost feels like if WWE happens to be in Boston and he's in Boston, that he would show up and say, hey, you know, you want me to do something? You need me for anything? Like, that's the vibe I get. I know it's not, it's cut and dry, but The Rock just returning from Hollywood to feud with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, up until a couple of months ago, was cheered big time. Every day, Roman Reigns, before the shift with the Sami Zayn storyline, was being cheered, badass, you know, killing it in what he's doing. Rock would have been booed heavily because it would feel like, why is he coming back? Everybody else that's been busting their ass for 2 years, from the Kevin Owens to the Bobby Lashley's to the Sami Zayn's to the Cody Rhodes before his injury to Seth Rollins and everyone else, and then The Rock just swoops in there and gets the WrestleMania title shot. I never believed it. I always felt that the fans would treat him similar to how they treated Batista before we had the Yes Movement. So creating another title for Cody? No. I think that start a new lineage? No, it's not necessary. Not needed, not necessary, not required. I'm glad that The Rock versus Roman Reigns is not happening this year. There was no need for it. There was no need for it. You want to do it next year? Absolutely. You want to do it at some... Listen, don't count out. Remember when I say this. Do not count out the possibility that Roman Reigns faces The Rock maybe at a SummerSlam. Or Survivor Series or something like that. Doesn't always have to be just WrestleMania. When you sell 50, 60, 70,000 tickets, you know, sure, you may not have the whole weekend of events or the whole week of WrestleMania week, but you get a building that big. Do not discount the possibility that Roman Reigns faces The Rock at an event other than WrestleMania. Something to think about. I'm not making a prediction, but something to think about. All right, Oral Carter. Not asking who, but when do I think Jade Cargill and Orange Cassidy's title reigns end? Orange Cassidy's, I think, will end soon. Because Orange Cassidy, you know, the Atlantic title is not a huge title. But, you know, him main eventing Rampage events, it's more important when he's defending a championship other than him just wrestling a main event. So that's why I think he has the championship also. I think he's done a good job with it. I think his title reign ends within the next month or two at the most. Jay Cargill, there's no rush. Because every time people start zooming in on Jay Cargill, oh, 50-0, the 50 wins, weren't they really, you know, they don't feel that important. Okay. That's why you have the women's championship. That's why you focus on Jamie Hayter instead. Honestly, I think Jade Cargill keeps her championship for a long time. Could she go 100? No. Yeah, I think it's possible. Right now, there's nobody in the roster that that is clamoring to me that I say, oh, she should take the title off of her. There's nobody. I know people fantasize Mercedes and stuff like that. Fantasize all you want. That's video game fantasy. But you know, right now, there's no rush. There's no rush at all. You know, let her do what she's doing. You know, you just don't want it like, you know, I'm trying to remember a good example. Like, you would have a wrestler. Oh, what's a good one? Bobby Lashley's not one of them. There was a wrestler not too long ago. Chris Masters, that might be stretching it, but you would have a wrestler in WWE that would have an undefeated streak for quite some time. And then the undefeated streak comes to an end. It might have even been Miro. An undefeated streak comes to an end, and it comes to an end almost uneventfully. Like, really uneventful. Like, just out of nowhere, like, oh, so the streak is over. You know, like, there's been a few times that WWE's done that. I don't think they do that with Jade Cargill, though. I don't think they do that with Jade Cargill. Austin Nance. Shout out to you, Austin. Thank you for always holding down the fort with chaos. He would like to know, when do I see Solo Sikoa winning some gold? He hopes it's sometime later this year. Solo Sikoa will win a title this year. Which title that is, I don't know. I don't see tag title for obvious reasons because he's not going to suddenly start teaming up with one of the Usos We're not going to have an additional Bloodline member added anytime soon. Solo Sikoa will obviously have to go for either the Intercontinental Championship or the U.S. Championship. I think Solo Sikoa versus Gunther would be really, really interesting. It would be really interesting. And believe it or not, I think the fans would probably side with Gunther and start cheering for Gunther, you know, just because of, you know, the workhorse that he is and how much respect he has for pro wrestling. So, yeah, I see Solo Sikoa hold the gold this year. Thing is, though, is there's really only two titles to choose from. So, and technically, you know, we got, what, 8, 9.5 months left in a year? So there's plenty of time to win some. Plenty of time. Dream 101. Today's your 22nd birthday. Happy birthday, Dream 101. Dream 101 is one of our big supporters here. Good guy. Interacts with everybody in the chat. Always hanging out. So even though I kind of feel bad that you sent me a 2-spot, you know, to I would still would have acknowledged you. Happy birthday. So everybody in the chat, wish Dream 101 happy 22. And big fuck you that you're only 22, man. I'm 22 with like 30 years experience. What are you talking about? 22 years old. What the fuck was I doing at 22 years old? Oh, man, going to clubs. Going to fucking clubs. By the way, I heard one of the members of De La Soul died today. And I haven't looked at the story yet, but right before we went live, somebody sent me a DM that said, did you hear who died, you know, from De La Soul? And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know me on these shows. Every so often, I will always cue up a line from a De La Soul song. Big, big fan of De La Soul back in the day. Absolutely love that band. So I got to look into it, but happy birthday once again, Dream 101. So believe it or not, everyone, we're about halfway done. Time flies when you're having fun. So Michael Gonzalez with a question. Should they bring back St. Valentine's Day Massacre as a February pay-per-view? Nope, they're not going to use the word massacre, especially with, you know, just this gun violence getting worse and worse. That is a term that WWE would stay away from. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have some trigger words with some events, you know, but to turn around, nah, I don't see it happening. Let me tell you something. That theme from St. Valentine's Day Massacre from many, many years ago, one of my favorite songs of all time. That theme was incredible. I searched for years and years and years for that song. Somebody had made like a remake of it, and I used to play it on Tombstone Radio. And every time I played, I would get at least one person who would say, "That's not the real song. Where's the real song?" Because I had a hard time finding it, but let me tell you something. Indie wrestling events, indie promotions, absolutely should use the term. Absolutely. I mean, it's a fucked up word, massacre. You don't want to, you know, but ECW used it, what, Massacre on 34th Street? You know, so right now with WWE, publicly traded company, being more family friendly, up for sale, TV rights, yeah, I don't think they probably would use a word like that right now. So, but not a bad question, though, but a lot of indie promotions will use that. So I think we used that for USA Pro Wrestling back in the day, didn't we? Didn't we do St. Valentine's Day Massacre? I don't remember. I don't remember the name, but that was the infamous event where Matt Stryker, I don't want to say stole the money, but when he did the beauty contest and I collected money to give it to somebody for real, he gave it and they spent it with Becky Bayless, the cookie from TNA. Wasn't her fault. I don't want anybody to get mad at her. She had no idea what happened. So long story we could share another day. Mr. Brian Hunt with the $9.99. Thank you very much, Brian, for Black History Month. WWE tweeted a picture of black NXT superstars, including Sol Ruka and Kiana James. Why are people online giving them a hard time, saying that they shouldn't be considered black? He thinks it's stupid. Listen, and this is not a cop-out, but I think my answer would probably be the same answer that a lot of you out there would say. I think the visual, more than anything. If somebody doesn't look black, then they're not black. And let me listen, I'm a white, chubby Italian guy, you know, from Howard Beach, Queens. So, you know, I'm probably not the best person to give you this answer, but I honestly think my black friends out there, and I don't mean that in any derogatory way, I mean those who tune into the shows that are black, I'm very curious what your reaction is to what I'm about to say. In my opinion, I think the reason why the visual of how they look is the biggest issue is because of stereotypes. Because the perception is that if a cop is driving down the road and sees somebody who's black in a predominantly white neighborhood and, you know, they look like they're up to no good, that the cop may be more inclined to pull them over. If Saul Ruka is in that neighborhood and she looks like she might be up to no good, you know, but still there's a chance that the cop may be like, let me focus on somebody else. Yeah, I think the perception that if you see somebody who is dark-skinned, that they may get more of a hard time from certain, you know, people out there. And I think that's why with Saul Ruka and Keanu James, because they don't look black, then they're not perceived as being black. So if they went to somewhere or did something, they may not be scrutinized or labeled or looked in a different way because of how they look. That's my only answer I could come up with. You know, I personally think that if that's the reason, it's a legitimate reason. It's a legitimate reason because pigmentation on someone's skin is enough reason why somebody may be treated a little bit differently. But in the end, though, I think if that answer, whether you agree with it or not, comes off as shallow and stupid, then I just wouldn't pay attention to those people. But I also feel that their reasoning might have some good legitimacy behind it. Just understand something, and I know this sounds kind of cliche, but, you know, Saul Ruka, Keanu James, anyone else who is black or half black or whatever it is, and they're light-skinned, they didn't do anything wrong. And they shouldn't be, you know, like, if you don't want to be treated a certain way because of your skin color being too dark, I don't think you should want anyone else treated a different way because their skin color is light. You know, so those women didn't do anything wrong. So to be scrutinized, you know, I think that's a little ridiculous. So, but hey, you know, until people are judged evenly across the board, you know, that'll always be an issue. I don't see how that ever changes, honestly. It gets better from time to time, and there'll always be an asshole out there. There'll always be a racist. It'll never go away completely. But, you know, I truly believe that good overcomes evil. You know, it's fucked up, man. So, Oral Carter says he agrees with my answer. Mia Yim, who's half black, is harassed for the same reason as Saul Ruka and Keanu James. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's to me, it's ridiculous. But again, say that to someone who is dark-skinned, who is looked at and treated a little bit differently just because they're dark-skinned and nothing else. So I understand why people would be upset, but don't take it out on them. You know, if they say something stupid, they say something really shallow, themselves, then you have reason, but none of them have as far as I know. Don't take it out on them. All right. Bash 8. Do I think AEW is a major problem that their ratings went under 900,000? No. This is what they are. This is what they are. The people who make a big thing about them being under 900,000 viewers, when they get under 750, they get in the sevens on a regular week, then I would be a little bit more concerned. Because here's the thing, and I've said this plenty of times, no one out there is ever going to bring this to surface. There's really no way to prove it. The only way you can really prove it is by talking to people online and see who watches WWE is also commenting during Dynamite. Or let's use the opposite. You watch, this is what I do. I watch the people online who are watching Dynamite and huge supporters of Dynamite. And then I see those same people commenting about SmackDown, commenting about Raw, So out of that 900,000 viewers, I think 600,000, 700,000 also watch WWE programming. You don't have this huge number of people that only watch AEW that refuse to watch WWE. That's why Tony Khan is making such a huge mistake trying to insist about this war. You know, if you, you know, put on a decent product and you don't, people don't have to feel like they're doing something wrong because they're watching WWE programming as well, you know, they might be more inclined to tune in and talk about it. But when people are bashed, it's stupid. It's stupid. You want to get maximize many people, but I say this. The people who really speak out about this viewership or either people that don't like AEW and love to use the ratings as a reason to make fun of them or people out there that insist that one day AEW is going to overtake WWE and whenever the ratings don't reflect that, there's always an excuse behind it. There's always, you know, something to try to divert the numbers. And the fact is that AEW, in my opinion, will never come close to what WWE is doing with revenue and everything else for the simple reason that AEW is just not set up to be that big. You know, and personally, I don't want AEW to try to get too big for their bridges. I mean, Tony Khan, thank God, is not going to have a Paul Heyman situation with ECW, but that's why ECW got knocked out of business. ECW became too big and they were never, they should have never gotten that big, but they got so popular and so big. It's what happened to ECW is almost the opposite of AEW. You know, it's, you know, it's, it is what it is. But I think once you get under 800,000 viewers, that's where I think the networks have an issue. Listen, a network, let's be honest, the network is never going to go out public and criticize any of their TV shows that are having some issues with ratings. They always try to push, you know, the positive spin on it. You know, when was the last time you heard any TV network out there about any TV show that's been doing kind of shoddy in the ratings that the networks, when they comment about, like, yeah, we're a little bit concerned about Young Rock, you know. These ratings are not as good as we thought. You don't ever hear networks do that. They'll always try to praise, like, the show is doing a great job, and then out of nowhere they pull a plug. So at some point, you know, with advertisers and revenue, you know, this is not a bullshit TV network. This is WarnerMedia. So at one point, do you turn around and you start being a little bit concerned with the ratings? So people online that speak out about, I don't pay attention to them. I don't pay attention to them. But the ones that do give really voice, you there's only two reasons behind it, so. All right, Pro Wrestling Talk says AEW hasn't gotten to the old TNA rating, 1.6, 1.7. They don't use point numbers anymore. And I think a lot of that had to do with TNA. Their ratings got so low that, you know, we no longer saw, because Aces and Eight storyline is not that long ago. And I made the phrase Aces and 0.8s because their ratings were so bad, Aces and Eights would only generate 0.8 ratings. The ratings got so low that you no longer heard, oh, they did a 0.6, 0.4, 0.3. Then it turned into 700,000 viewers, 610,000 viewers. You know, like suddenly the point ratings were no longer around. Now it was just simply viewership. But you go back at that time also, it's different. You got all the streaming media platforms now. There's always a way to watch some type of TV. The bottom line is that when AEW's ratings get low or WWE's ratings get low, all it really means more than anything is that the wrestling fan themselves, a lot of them just choose not to watch it live. How you can get a good spit, good pulse on AEW, pay attention to their buy rates. Problem is you'll never know the number. I'm not accusing anyone of lying. They're not a publicly traded company. They could put out any number they want. These people who gush that have news sites and newsletters and Patreons and everything like that, they could fucking inflate it by 20, 30,000. You know, a pro wrestler, you know, oh, he's 7'5" when he's really 7'1". You know, Andre was 800 pounds when he was really 5'10". You're like, oh, this person has, you know, there's always an exaggeration. There's always an exaggeration. So, you know, it's not a publicly traded company. You're not going to see the books. But if you start seeing a significant drop in something, somewhere, somehow. I don't know how we could prove it. That's when you'd be concerned. But the ratings going down a little bit, I'd be concerned when it gets under 8. All right. Let's start bringing this home. We got about 19 minutes left. 19 minutes left. Oh, Larry, I disagree. AEW is definitely edgy. Definitely edgy. The violence, with the blood, with the expletives, with the adult, you know, content, you know, the topics. They are definitely edgier. The thing is, though, is, you know, just be what you are. Do what you do. And stop. And that's why I think Tony Khan, once again, this idea that, hey, I'm just doing a good show. I'm giving an alternative. And, you know, meanwhile, I'm getting all these obstacles and there's this hatred and stuff like that. You know, hey, Tony, nobody hates each other. You know, you're the one with the hatred. These other people out there. And you and I, we ain't going to get through to him because that's just his mentality, his mindset. You know, all the other businesses that he's in, there's competition. There's competition in every business. And for some reason, when it comes to pro wrestling, you know, there's this manufactured hatred that he thinks that there's enough people out there that'll watch AEW thinking that WWE is going to get angry if a fan says, yeah, I watched AEW, I don't watch WWE. Fuck you, WWE. You think WWE is going to lose sleep? Who within WWE is going to lose sleep? You know, do you think they're going to have a meeting? Hey, guys, you know, I read this guy, Josh, on Twitter yesterday. Man, he really hates us, and he watches AEW and can't stand us. You know, what can we do to change Josh's mind? They don't give a fuck. They don't give a shit. Oral Carter, like my video Saturday about the blood and blading. You know, I know, sorry, I posted on Twitter and I deleted it. Because, again, it makes too much sense. Let's be honest. You make too much sense. Nobody fucking wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. So I honestly, that's why I didn't even like post any follow-ups on YouTube itself. You know, people want to watch the clip, go right ahead. You know, this is why I don't do clips all that much. Because I realize, like, the clips I want to post are comments. Remember Liv Morgan? Remember Liv Morgan that somebody scammed her claiming that they sold their house because they thought they were talking to Liv Morgan and she needed money? It was a scam. I did a video and I explained why it was a scam. And I ended up being right. And nobody gave a fuck. Everybody and their mother reported when a fan that loved Liv Morgan and wrestling so much, he sold his house over 90% of those sites and never posted a follow-up that it was a scam. People just don't. My clips, if I put them out there, I'm trying to put out facts and trying to clear up bullshit. You know, we had fun. I was going to put a clip about Vince McMahon with the $2.5 billion story. Breaking news, Dave Meltzer knows how to use a calculator, and that's not a shot on Dave Meltzer. But look at all those websites reporting that story over the weekend, and it was a joke. You just add math. That's all he did. There's no inside news. He fucking took out a calculator and said, gee, how much money would he make if he sold this stock? But people are just not interested in facts, man. Not the majority. So this is why I don't want to waste time. You know, if it's not going to maximize, there's not enough people out there that want to know the truth. Even the stuff with the Misha Montana stuff. You know, there was enough people that appreciated some information being cleared up, especially about the drug stuff with Matt Riddle. You know, was Matt Riddle straight up clean? No. He wasn't straight up clean. But there was a lot more to that story. And, you know, I put out there what we could, but there was a lot of mental health and stuff. People didn't give a fuck about that. Nobody fucking tried to shift the. They just put it out there just to get hits and views. So this is why I don't spend that much time putting individual clips and stuff like that, because who really, you know, you get this many people like, hey, DT, thank you for clearing that up. But the majority of people don't give a shit. So it is what it is. And you want to know something, honestly? If those people out there are not interested in knowing the truth, then let them be the ones that keep getting fucked over about Mercedes Moné debuting in AEW, that Vince McMahon, WWE, sold it to Saudi Arabia. Just think back of all those stories that the mystery partner for Soraya was going to be Mercedes, and then it was Mandy Sachs, and then it was Naomi, and then it was and people said, no, my sources tell me this is done. It's a done deal. And we were like, no, that makes no sense. New Japan spent over $1 million on Mercedes. They don't want her to show up New Japan by having her debut in AEW first. Nobody wanted to hear that. 99% of the people out there were not interested. So good. They want to keep getting jerked off with wrong information. Good for them. That's really all I care about. So for everybody who tunes into my stuff, I do this to clear it up for all of you. What you do with it is up to you. That's why, you know, with all due respect for a few of you out there, you know, when you ask me my reaction to when a different podcaster says something, I ask always the same question back. Did you go on their page and say, you know, Don Tony cleared this up and Don Tony pointed this out and so this and this and that? You don't do that. So if you don't do that for me, why am I going to clear up another podcaster's claims? So, all right, let's wrap this up. Again, if you have a question, write question before it. If you have a comment you just want to share with everyone, how awesome I am. Just write the word comment beforehand. And again, super chats are not required. But if they happen, you do get VIP treatment, obviously. And, you, oh, let me say something else since I'm looking at what Brian said earlier about Black History Month. I don't want Athena suddenly on Dynamite because it's Black History Month. How many of you out there think that maybe not this Wednesday, because a lot of Wednesdays already been announced for Dynamite. Wednesday's the 15th. How many of you out there want to bet that on the 22nd, is there a 29? No. Next Wednesday is the last Wednesday of the month. How many of you want to make a bet that on February 22nd is Dynamite or February 24th's Rampage, Athena is going to be on? And I don't want somebody on simply because it's Black History Month. Because listen, with all due respect, and I know this kind of like rub people the wrong way, was it 2 years ago this happened or a year ago? No, it's got to be 2 years ago. Remember when Mercedes Martinez and Jake Atlas main evented NXT? And I came up on the show and I said, why? Because it's LGBTQ awareness. I mean, and Mercedes got knocked for a loop. We were all concerned. And then I said, let's see if Jake Atlas still main events after, you know, LGBTQ awareness, you know, that month is over. And just like with the month ending, so did all the attention to both of them. I don't want people on TV simply because it's, you know, Italian Pride Month or Gay Pride Month or, you know, Black History Month. Put them on TV because they should be on TV. Or Carter, my analysis on Rey Mysterio refusing to sign autographs for grifters at the airport. If people are just trying to get autographs to throw shit up on eBay, if I was Rey Mysterio, I wouldn't sign it. I wouldn't sign it. Seriously. You know, if it's a little kid, can you sign my hat, Rey? Let me tell you something, Rey signs it. It's just that you don't see those interactions. I saw somebody over the weekend accusing Kofi Kingston back like 10 years ago or so, like rubbing him the wrong way in an airport. Kind of interesting that that fan never wrote it in 10 years, but Kofi was so upset behind it that Kofi challenged this guy. And the more this guy talked, the more you could see he was lying. Kofi's like, oh, and the guy's like, yeah, you're wearing your headphones, this and that. First of all, you know, God bless that guy for, like, remembering those. But Kofi's like, I don't wear my headphones like that. Oh, yeah, you know, you were drinking coffee. I don't drink coffee unless I'm at the building. What are you going to say? No, I drank tea. And you could see that the guy was lying about it. But that rubbed Kofi the wrong way so much because his interaction with fans are always positive. And he's not schmuck like that. Rey, and listen, the fact that that video went on TikTok of Rey Mysterio not signing the item says all you need to know. The fact that those people Their immediate reaction is to show the world, look at this cocksucker, he won't sign our stuff. Ray shouldn't be signing for them. All right? The fact that they ran to social media to try to bury Rey Mysterio for not autographing something at an airport, those are the people that do not deserve an autograph. So I commend Rey Mysterio for not signing their shit. You know, sometimes, listen, sometimes you don't know the authenticity or the, you know, intentions of someone until after something happens. And sometimes you got to challenge someone. Sometimes you got to test them and see what they do. Now, obviously, there's no way for Ray to test those people. But sometimes when you do or don't do something and you wait to see what their reaction is, that tells you the true intentions of that person. And those people out there, they were just looking to fucking throw shit on eBay. And Ray didn't go along with it. And they're there ready with a phone to fucking record it. And then they run the TikTok. Yeah, Ray, you don't want to sign? Good. We'll make you look like shit. Oh, and we'll show everybody what you look like right now without a mask on. Yes, I know it's WCW days, but those are people out there I wouldn't sign shit for. Fuck those people. Fuck them. All right. Yeah, even if Ray wants to be nice and sign one, yeah, that's fine. But the point is that, you know, look, no one is required. Listen, I met a lot of people over the years. All right. Sometimes you have it. Listen, not too long ago, I'll tell you a good one. There is a restaurant where I live in Howard Beach, Queens, called Saffron. And if any of you think I'm making this up, you could ask some of the wrestlers. They probably will remember it. There's a Spanish restaurant in my neighborhood called Saffron. I don't remember what the name it was. It might have been Daisy's. I don't remember the name before it. But before it was a Spanish restaurant 10, 15 years ago, it was a steakhouse. And about 15 years ago, maybe even a little longer than that, when I was still doing work for some indie wrestling promotions, WWE had a show at the Garden. And a lot of the wrestlers afterwards went to this restaurant, the steakhouse. I think Tommy Dreamer was one of them. I don't remember if Bubba Ray was another, but there was like five or six guys that went to the steakhouse in Howard Beach after their show was over. I, who lives in the neighborhood and also does the insurance, you know, for the building and everything like that, somebody had called me up and said, hey, you know, Anthony, if you want to come down, there's a whole bunch of WWE guys here at the restaurant. And I said, you know, it feels kind of awkward. What am I going to do, just show up like it just happened to be there? So I said, you know, let me order some food. So I went down there, ordered some food. I went to pick it up. I saw the guys. And I just, you know, said, hey, you know, big fan, you know, love your stuff. Keep doing what you're doing, this and that. I didn't ask him for an autograph. So I didn't ask for pictures or anything like that. But while I was there, I saw like two fans walk up and ask one of them if they could take a picture. I don't remember who it was. Might have been Tommy Dream. I'm not sure. But one of them said, you know, after I eat, you know, after with dinner, absolutely. And I wasn't there long enough to see what the result was. But, you know, when you're in your private time, I mean, Kevin Owens is a great example. If I remember correctly, Kevin Owens was in Orlando. What, at Disney or Universal Studios? He was with his family. And somebody asked him, like, look, you know, can I take a picture of this and that? And Kevin Owens said, look, I'm with my family and this and that. You got to respect that. You know, for us, it could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see someone. But, you know, for other people, they're just trying to enjoy a little bit of private time. And if they don't do what you want them to do, you can't, that doesn't mean automatically that they're a bad person. So there's a respect factor there, you know? I mean, even when I worked shows with people, sometimes people don't want to be bothered. Sometimes people just want to be left alone, and you got to just have that respect and be like, all right, cool. Listen, when I pushed tickets for ECW for the last year that they were in existence, there were many times that I went to the events and would have loved to hang out backstage. There were many times, and because of, you know, logistics or things going on, it wasn't offered to me, but I didn't ask. And then when we had Guilty as Charged pay-per-view 2000, and Louis Dangerously, who's the person I became friendly with at the time, when he's like, hey, you want to come in the back? You know, I want to introduce you to some people. And he introduced me to Paul Heyman and others, but I had met most of them already over the years. But, you know, hanging out with them, smoked out. If you remember the Minority Report podcast that we used to do, smoked out was with me, you know. And my point is that, you know, there were many times that I was at these events. There were many times I'm pushing tickets. There was many times I'm doing things. But that doesn't mean automatically that you should get this, you should meet this, you should do this. You should. If it was offered, then, yeah, absolutely. But if it's not offered, it doesn't mean that somebody's trying to, like, you know, like, throw you shade or anything like that. You know, you got to just treat people like people. You know, and you may not get that opportunity. Listen, it's awesome, larger than life. You know, the season, look at Trump. I know a lot of you can't stand Trump. But, you know, my father, this was like 10 years ago. Everybody knows this story that tunes into the other shows. 10 years ago, my father was at Long Island Jewish Hospital, you know, to visit someone, and Donald Trump happened to be in the elevator, you know, and my father's like, hey, and he knows my father because my father used to do work with his father. But the point is that I said to my dad, I said, you take a picture with him? No, he was with people and this and that. It was like about 15 years ago. So, but the point is that you know, if you could you feel that vibe that someone doesn't want to be bothered, you know, just respect it and you move on. You don't think that my father would have loved to take the picture? He would have shot. Will you see the picture with Hillary? A lot of you have seen the picture. If you, I don't think I have it handy. When the plane went down in 2001, not 9/11, but about a month or two after 9/11, a plane went down in Bell Harbor, New York. I think the plane was on its way to the Dominican Republic or something like that. The plane went down two blocks from my parents' house. My father brought from his store water, food for all the people that were there, you know, trying to like help out. And, you know, it was crazy. Hillary Clinton showed up at the site. And my father was there. My father said to Hillary, he said, can I take a picture with you? And she says, sure. And I have the picture. I showed everyone. She's wearing shades and everything. That was at that plane crash. But my father was there trying to give food and supplies for people that could use it, first responders and everything. And Hillary happened to be there. My father said, can I take a picture with you? You know, our mayor right now, Mayor Adams, I showed it last year. My father went to a function and met him. He's like, can I take a picture with you? You know, my father took pictures. But there's a lot of people who my father met, and that person didn't want to be bothered. Like, no, not right now. You know, and you respect that. You move on. When they filmed The Good Shepherd, when Robert De Niro was in front of my house, Robert De Niro used our house for the production stuff. And my father said, look, I don't want any money. You could use the house for production. You could store your stuff in the garage. But after, you know, the filming is done, could we, you know, my family take some pictures with you? Well, any of you that are on my Patreon, you've seen the video. It's been up there forever. I'm sitting on my stoop. You know what? Maybe next week I'll show you a few minutes of it. I'm on my stoop, and Robert De Niro's 6 feet in front of me with his Mets hat on, filming The Good Shepherd, and they're doing scenes with Ben Affleck. Is it Ben Affleck? No, Matt Damon and Joe Pesci and others. And I'm sitting on my stoop, and they're right in front of me doing it. So Joe Pesci and a few others, they're like, yeah, after we're done filming, yeah, we'll hang out. So after the filming was over, Robert De Niro's behind my house, hanging out by the pool. Matt Damon is there and a few others took pictures with me and my family and everything. Joe Pesci went into one of the stunt cars and in the back seat and laid low, put a towel over his face so nobody could see him going by because he didn't want to be bothered. So at the time, we were like, wow, what a dick. Everybody else was hanging out in my father's yard, you know, by the pool, just hanging out and everything, taking pictures, you know, being social. And here's Joe Pesci. Like, where's Joe Pesci? Oh, he left. And you look back at the camera footage, he literally got in the backseat of a car, went low, and somebody said he put a towel over his head so nobody could see that he left. You know, some people just don't want to be bothered. So, yeah, there's a little grown-up D'Antoni stuff. But I guarantee there's some people out there that would be like, oh, DT, you're full of shit. I have the video. So if people want it enough, I'll be more than happy to show you some of it next week. I don't think I've ever made public The Good Shepherd video with De Niro in front of my house. That's pretty wild, man. You'll see. I'm literally sitting there with my camcorder, And De Niro's right in front of me, and they're doing the scenes over and over again. They wanted to use my parents' house for the movie, but they wanted to knock down a wall. And my father's like, I don't want to knock down walls. So they said, could we at least use your house to store the production equipment and everything? My father's like, yeah, you know, you could take some pictures after. And that was it. Larry says Bull Payne was pretty chill when he met him. Buddy Landell was arrogant. Yeah, I heard that about Buddy Landell a lot. Jim the Anvil, Jim Duggan, Dr. Death, Moondog Spot, Kurt Angle, Jazz, Buff Bagwell, Florida Brown. Wow. NWO Sting, Disco Inferno, all nice people. Listen, you know, people ask me all the time, like, you know, who's the nicest person you ever met? Yeah, I think the more challenging question is, who's the biggest asshole you ever met? And I always say the same thing. In all the years of me interacting with people in wrestling, there's almost nobody that was an asshole. There have been wrestlers that don't want to be bothered or might be having a bad day, or maybe they just weren't happy with their performance, and you just show respect and you just leave them alone. But I don't recall anybody, really. Even Sabu. The wildest story that I could share with all of you, if any of you still talk to Jay Lover, ask him. If you remember the wrestling promotion, FTW, Fuck the World, which turned into Fight the World because they got too much criticism because it was Fuck the World. That was the name of the promotion. They're all around. Ask them if I'm making this up. About maybe a dozen years ago, Sabu was going to main event one of their shows in Long Island. And they needed a table so he could go through it. So the guy, and I worked two of their shows. So the guy calls me up. He's like, hey, you happen to have a folding table? Like the, you know, like they use on TV? I'm like, yeah, I actually do happen to have one I used to use for my defensive driver class. Could we have it? I'm like, yeah. So I said, no problem. All right, we'll come by to pick it up. So, I don't know, maybe like 2-3 hours later, they call me up on my cell phone. Yeah, we're outside. I go downstairs with the table, and fucking Sabu is chilling in the parking lot, you know, with Jay Lover and the others, and they put the table in, you know, the van and everything, and, you know, he was cool. He was cool. But you could tell, like, he was just like a little, like, you know, he just wanted to be to himself and everything. But, you know, you interact with people, you know, everybody has a bad day, and they may not have the most pleasant experience with you. Sometimes you got to just step back and say, hey, they're just regular people like you and I, so... Florida Brown is not Florida from Good Times, but it is the same first name. It wasn't a name Florida Evans from Good Times. Wasn't the last name Evans? Could have sworn. All right, let's wrap this up in 5 minutes. So last call for anyone out there. And if you haven't asked a question yet, here is your opportunity because we're going to jet out of here in 5 minutes. Tomorrow we have Raw. And, you know, this is going to be the final Raw before Elimination Chamber. We feel like we just finished. We just stopped talking about the Royal Rumble, and now we're at the final Raw before the Elimination Chamber. We'll see what goes down tomorrow. You know, there's rumors of somebody returning. I'm not sure if that's going to actually happen tomorrow. It would make no sense to happen tomorrow. But... you know, we'll definitely recap Raw. And if you haven't done so already, Saturday's Don Tony show, you know, we had a fun discussion about the WWE movie parodies that they did at WrestleMania 21. And we're talking about what they could possibly do for WrestleMania 39 because they are bringing back the film parodies. This is 2 years in the making, everyone. So I brought this up. And I decided I'm going to use it, I think, for next week's show or maybe the week after. But I'm telling you, I think they got to – that's my satire, by the way. They got to do a Magic Mike ripoff with Otis. Instead of XXL, it's got to be like 4XL or 5XL. I was going to put more X's, but unfortunately, I ran out of room. But, yeah, that's a little thing I'm working on right now. Otis with Magic Mike. And Rey Mysterio and the Warriors, people were laughing because they're like, you know what? His haircut looks 70s. For me, it's more 80s mullet. You know, I actually had a mullet in the latter part of the 80s. I had a mullet for a little while. I didn't always have just a, you know, pushback Guido haircut We all grew mullets at some point in our early lives. But, yeah, Dominic, I think in the Warriors would be pretty fucking funny. Could you imagine him walking by rattling the glass bottles? Oh, that would be awesome. All right, so Wombology, haven't heard from you yet. Would I agree that Brian Cage looks like Chris Benoit? I know why you say that. I used to work with a wrestler named Jason Static. If you do a Google image search for Jason Static, they used to chant, Chris Benoit, Chris Benoit, Chris Benoit. He looked a lot like Chris Benoit. I think it's the physique. I think it's the way the face, you know, I could see it a little bit. I could see it a little bit. But no, I mean, he doesn't look like he's related to Chris Benoit. But if his physique, listen, I'm happy that Brian Cage is getting a little bit more love in AEW. Unfortunately, they're not equating to wins, which I think really do matter at the end of the day. But, you know, impressive motherfucker, man. May not be the easiest person to deal with behind the scenes, but Brian Cage is definitely a special type of talent, you know. And he's showing it. He's showing it. He definitely could go, man. He definitely could go. All right. Let's see. Anyone else with a question that hasn't asked one yet? If not, we're going to get out of here. Mike is asking, assuming Roman loses at Mania, does he take a few months off or stays on TV for a little while? I think it might be a little bit of both. Personally, I think Roman has to stay on TV for a little bit, because if we have the collapse of the bloodline, and yes, I'm using the word collapse. If we have the collapse of the bloodline, you can't just leave it alone for months. It has to be addressed and addressed almost immediately. They almost have to look like they're in shock, like, what happened? Before WrestleMania, we all had the gold. Now we have nothing. You know, like, if it's going to be an utter collapse, there's got to be reaction to it. Maybe not necessarily the SmackDown after Mania. I personally think the SmackDown after Mania does need to be addressed. And maybe someone shows up or something happens, and then you could write Roman off for a little while. But no, you don't just make him go off TV for a few months and not address what happened. So, yeah, if it's a collapse, then Roman definitely needs to be on TV within a week or two at the most. I'd say within a week, to address what happened. And then, if you want to give him some time off. So, okay. Benoit, if he was brought in 95 with Owen, would have been a game changer? No. No, because it would have been a talented tag team, but 1995 with the cartoon shit still in full force, it would have gotten some attention, but wouldn't have gone anywhere. Wouldn't have gone anywhere. Chris Benoit, even in 95, we used to use the term silent but violent, and then it ended up being a theme song for us in WCW. I actually like Chris Benoit in 95, 94, when he was part of the Triple Threat, you know, Triple Threat in ECW. He didn't have to say much, but no. It really wouldn't have, wouldn't have. Not at that time. All right, we're going to get out of here. So I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. So if you have any follow-ups that you want to ask or write, by all means, write it in the chat, or in the comment section, excuse me. So tomorrow on Raw, you know, this will be the go-home show into Elimination Chamber. We'll see what goes down. I'll be here live at 11.05 p.m. Recapping Raw. We'll get into a couple of news tidbits as well. I'm putting a few things together that should be interesting discussion. And, you know, we'll see what goes down. So, everyone, you know, I know some of you are probably catching this. Anybody have a score update before we go off the air? Someone get me a score. What did I say earlier? 38-24 or 38-27? I think it was 38-24. What's the current score? I'm a little curious. Eagles 38-24. That was my prediction earlier. Let's see if anybody has a score update. Okay, right now, Eagles are up 24-21. Okay, so if they get two more touchdowns and the Chiefs get a field goal, there's your 38-24. So we'll see. We'll see. But, hey, for everyone who's into the football, I hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. I have not seen the national anthem that was sung by the country music star, but everybody and their mother was talking about it. Like, I heard it's like Lillian Garcia territory. Like, there were a couple of NFL players who were visibly in tears crying. You should be proud to be an American. You should be proud to be a member of whatever country that you live in or you're from. There's horrible people doing horrible things. That doesn't mean it has to apply to us. But I'm definitely going to check that out. Because who's the guy's name that sung the national anthem? Was it like Christopher something? What was his name? I don't know, was it Christopher Dawkins? I don't remember his name. No, Dawkins is a street prophet. What was the guy's name, the country music singer that sung the national anthem? Chris Stapleton. Okay, Chris Stapleton. That's who I heard. Lillian Garcia territory. I heard the really, really powerful national anthem. So I will definitely check that out. But everyone, have a good one. Much love as always. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that would like the channel, check it out. Let them know about it. So I'm going to jet out of here, and I will see you hopefully Monday after Raw. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.